A lot of information, but we need it. No doubt we need it. There's a couple topics I'm going to touch on tonight. That you know, I looked at it and I didn't see it as a big issue. You know, and you look for words, it's a topic, but you look for these fancy words to put there. But you know something? Sometimes we just need to keep it simple. So that's what I did. I kept it simple. And, I had these topics in mind because I touched on them during a few two separate messages. I just touched on them. I mentioned it, both of them, on separate occasions. But the Lord kept bringing me back to them. So I started doing research on them. And this reading that we did touches on it a lot. Touches on both of them. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't seem, if you just look at it, you know, there's some things that you see from the surface that really doesn't look like a big deal. But whenever you start digging in and you see the significance of it, it's a lot bigger deal than it looked on the surface. So we're going to get started in these two topics. I'll just tell you what the two topics are: staying teachable. And the other one is the trademark. There's a trademark that's been put on our lives, every one of us. And some of you may remember whenever I touched on them, but we're going to go a little deeper. We're going to dig in and see. And see how we can operate in this trademark constantly. And how we stay teachable. Because the two work hand in hand. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to go back. You can use your folder for this if you want to. Deuteronomy chapter 4. It's in 1. Let's see what page it's on here. It's 124. We'll start. It's in the paragraph, Israel's refusal to enter the land. And they turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they took in their hands some of the fruit of the land and brought it down to us and brought us word and said, it is good land that Yahweh Elohim is giving us. All right, so they went and spy out the land. Verse 26, yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of Yahweh, your Elohim. And you murmured in your tents and said, because Yahweh hated us, he has brought us up out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. So God gave them instruction. All right, now this is the same God that took them out of Egypt. Mean no different. It's the same God who took them out of Egypt. All right? And from that point on, he's been giving them instruction. But in this particular case, they didn't want to listen to him. Because the report they got of the land, it scared them. All right? It scared them. So they disobeyed God. They rebelled against God. They were disobedient. All right, because they've done that, God said they wouldn't inherit the land, but a few. One of them was Caleb and his sons, his family, and the other one was Joshua. And not only them, but the children who had no knowledge of good and evil. Whenever I got there, you know, this is a generation he's talking about. He said there's a generation that wouldn't go into the land, the good land. All right, whenever I look at generation, you know, I look at it differently. You know, we look at a generation like you know, all of my cousins from this generation, from my Aunt Yulame, all of her sisters, that's a generation, but not to God, because he said that the ones who didn't understand good from evil, they would see the land. So they would see it. So sometimes God's definitions of things, and we've learned that, you know, is different than what we think. And it may not seem like much, but to God it's a lot. Verse 40. But as for you, turn and journey into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. All right. So this is where it gets interesting. This is where it seems to me God had enough. Okay. You don't want to listen. You're not getting the land. Matter of fact, you're going into the wilderness. All right, let's look at verse 41. Then you answered me, "We have sinned against Yahweh. We ourselves will go up and fight, just as Yahweh Elohim commanded us, and every one of you fastened on his weapons of war and thought it easy to go up into the hill country." So this reminded me of something. You know, whenever I was a kid, you know, I'm sure some of y'all remember this. I remember there's times my parents told me to do something, right? Like take out the trash. You know, and it could be other things. For the boys, take out the trash. For the girls, it was other things. I'm not a girl, so I don't know them things. But anyway, and, you know, in your way, you say, well, I'll take it out later. Well, later comes around, they ask you, did you take the trash out yet? No, I didn't take it out yet. Well, you need to take it out. Well, I'll take it out later. Well, later rolls around again, and the trash is still there. So, there's consequences to pay. Get in your room, you're punished. Well, I don't want to go in my room. You remember that? Well, get in your room, you're punished. Well, I'm going to try and fix it. Well, I'm going to take out the trash, all right? After they told me, I don't know how many times, I tried to fix it. All right, well, this is what the children of Israel are doing. All right, they answered me, "We have sinned against Yahweh. We ourselves will go up and fight." So they decided they're going to go up and fight without Yahweh. That's a bad idea, I think. That's not good. You know, if I'd have took the trash out the first time, I'd have never got to that point to where I was punished, and then there was a result to that. Me changing my mind and saying I'm going to take the trash out. There was another result. All right, let's see what the children of Israel's result was. And Yahweh said to me, "Say to them, do not go up or fight, for I am not in the midst, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, and you would not listen, but you rebelled against the command of Yahweh, and presumptuously, prideful, and balled up, like mad." You know, I remember, "I'll take the trash out now, you know, after I'm punished now." It was too late to take the trash out. It was the same case with it. It was too late for them to go. They should have never went. Because guess what happened to them? We just read it. They got smoked. You know what happened to me? I got smoked. One thing my mom believed in was spare the rod, spoil a child. And the rod part, she believed in that too, because I got that fly swatter rod quite a few times. I got smoked with it and still didn't learn my lesson. You know, still didn't learn my lesson. So they rebelled against God. They rejected his teachings. You know, what should we do? We should stay teachable. Well, you can't reject teachings and stay teachable. You can't be disobedient and stay teachable. You can't be prideful and stay teachable. Because you think you get to a point to where you think you know it all. We've all been there. Think we know it all. And we ain't never knew it all. And we never will. Let's look at Isaiah. Again, this is in your fold, Isaiah 1:2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh hath spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. Again, they rebelled. Somebody in a rebellion state, we all know, we've all been there, they're not teachable. They fall from it. They think they know it all. Let's see what the Father says about being teachable. Go to Proverbs 4. Got a couple scriptures here. Proverbs 4. One through two. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instructions. Do not abandon my instructions. And if you go on, you can read that whole chapter, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. Psalms 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping in according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. We have to stay teachable. Someone teachable is approachable. Someone teachable is approachable. That means if somebody approaches you and says, hey, bro, and I heard you talking the other day, and I'm not sure what you were saying was as biblical. I just want to let you know. All right, or somebody may approach you and say, you know, you should have never acted like that. You know better than that. And that might be a rough way of putting it. Someone who is teachable is attentive. So what should we do? We should listen. Be attentive. We should be receptive. Should receive it. You know, even you may not be in error, but we should receive it. And once we receive it, we should be curious. You know, is what he's saying the truth? Maybe I should have never said that. Maybe I should have never done that. And then we have to be pliable. We have to apply to our life, whatever it may be, and let it mold us. Because we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. The problem is sometimes we think we do. And I said this before, we got expectations for each other out the roof. You know, whenever somebody make a mistake, we want to get bent out of shape. Well, they're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. We all going to make them. But we have to help each other. We in this thing together. Look, if we want to be in it by ourselves, I don't even know what we're doing here. We might as well stay home. Because we don't have to be in it by ourselves. We can help one another. That's what the body's for. Why do you think? That's why he wants us together. He wants us to meet together and fellowship and learn together. That way we're not alone. Because whenever we're alone, that's a dangerous place. Everybody in here knows that. Whenever you're alone, it's dangerous. Because the enemy's out there. And he's going to tell you all kind of crazy stuff. And if we just buy into a little bit, that's all he needs is a beachhead. Somewhere where he can set up shop and work from there. That's what he does. He just needs something small. He could destroy you. That's why we need each other. We can't do this alone. We'd be crazy to think that. We need help. We need each other. To be teachable means to lack arrogance, defensiveness, and you check your ego or pride at the door. And I use at the door, but in situations. Fellowshipping. Anything. We should check our pride. You know why we should constantly check our pride? Because we can have pride and not even know it. Pride's good at disguising itself. Real good. So we have to be careful. We should always check for pride. Make sure. Yeshua gives us some very good examples of getting to a place where we are unteachable. There's examples of folks in there. Think about this for a minute. What's the true mark of a champion? In any sport, what's the true mark? He's teachable, and he stays that way. He never gets to a point to where he knows it all, because whenever he does, he's not going to be champ very long. He's going to lose that title. And somebody else is going to come along who's teachable, and they're going to have it. So we have to stay teachable. We can't get in the... And look, I know it gets hard, and, you know, we're getting a lot of information right now, and we want to shut down, but it ain't no time to shut down. But that's what happens. I know with me, whenever it gets hard, I want to shut down, but I can't. Because whenever we shut down and we're not making progress, it's a dangerous place. We got to keep moving forward. Keep learning. Keep growing. All right, we're not going to go to these because, I mean, everybody's familiar with these scriptures. It's the prodigal son, if you want to go and look at it. It's Luke 15, 11 through 32. But think about the prodigal son. All right, this is a guy, he knew he had some stuff coming to him. A lot. You know, he stood with his dad, he was learning, his dad was teaching him. He was learning things, but then something happened. He got to a place where he wasn't teachable anymore. He thought he knew it all. You know, and he said, look, you know, the whole story is not in there, but this is my interpretation. Hey, Dad, you know, I appreciate you helping me out and all and teaching me all these years, but, you know, I know everything now, man. I'm doing good. You know, I'd really like to have all my possessions that's coming to me right now because, you know, like I said, I mean, you give me that, and I'm going to build off of that. And I'm going to keep building. Well, we know the story. He took his stuff and ran. Spent it all up. It got so bad for him, he was looking at the pig's flock, ready to eat it. Because he got to a place to where he wasn't teachable anymore. His dad couldn't tell him anything. I remember whenever whenever I was like that, you know, my dad couldn't tell me anything. You know, and my question is, are we like that with God? or we like that with Yahweh. Or we stay and teachable to his word. Are we still learning and growing? I know we're getting all kind of information, but look, you can grow and learn and give, you know, get as much as information as you can, learn as much as you can, but not go anywhere spiritually. You know, whenever I went to take the captain's test the second time, I learned a lot there. But it didn't do anything for me spiritually. So we can learn some things, even the scripture. Yes, folks know the scripture from the front to the back. They spiritually did. So the knowledge don't get you there. We can know a lot and go nowhere. The next one's the guys with the talents. 5, 2, and 1 talent. And that's in Matthew 25:14-30. I read this story and you know, I was thinking about the guy. You know, we all think about the guy that had the one. And what was his reason for doing what he did with the one? You know, and I thought about it. And, you know, his master must add a little bit confidence in him. Not as much as the guy he gave the 5 to or the 1, I wouldn't think. But he still had confidence in him. But I noticed something about this guy. He buried it, right? Because he didn't know what to do with it. But yet, they had 2 other guys who knew. So my question is, why didn't he go to one of them? Say, hey, bro. You know, I got something here. I don't know what to do with it. Can you help me? What about us here? Brothers and sisters here. You know? Hey, I need some help with something. I got something. I don't know what to do with it. And what about Solomon? Hmm. 700 wives. That's crazy to even think about that, right? Well, this was a guy who had more wisdom than anybody. Had folks come to him, travel from far away lands, come to him just to hear him speak. But even that guy got to a point to where he wasn't teachable. Because think about it. He had 700 wives from places God told him don't take them from. So he got to that spot where, you know something? I got everything I need. I'm good. And I know everything. I'm good. Well, that's a dangerous place to be. We know the result. We know what happened with him. Right, there's something that causes us to become unteachable. Go to Hebrews 3. Again, that's in your binder. Hebrews 3:8. Says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. So do not harden your hearts during the testing, or their hearts was proved. And God proves all of our hearts to see where we're at. He don't do it for us to become unteachable and grow cold. That's not why he does it. He does it for our benefit, so that way we can gauge where we're at. Because whenever we pass that test, whenever we're proved, whenever we look back, it encourages us to keep moving forward. You know, how often do we do that? You know, we get into situations and it's like it's impossible to get past. Well, I guarantee you, if we look back far enough, God will show us where he already took us through that. So if he done it one time, he'll do it again. You know, but sometimes we don't want to look back. Well, sometimes it's good to look back. But you look back on a positive, you don't look back on a negative. We don't look back on what Katrina did and get all upset about it. No, we look at the positives. What good came out of Katrina? That's what we look at. And that's what we should do whenever we're looking back in our life, because we can gain encouragement from it. It'll encourage us because God will show us where he took us out of something that at that time we thought it was impossible. But yet we're still here. We're still here. We're still serving God. That's incredible. Let's go to Matthew 24:12. Tell you what. I'll just read them to 12 and 13. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. You know, I was going to go back and read the whole thing to make a point, but the point's already made in them verses there. He's talking about believers. He's not talking about non-believers, because he says, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. All right, so we're the ones enduring to the end. So he's talking about believers. So he says that the love of many will grow cold. Well, whenever I look back on the children of Israel and the stuff we went over, that, you know, that looks like that's what happened to them. Their love grew cold towards God, because whenever your love grows cold towards somebody, you don't want to listen to them. You don't want to hear nothing they have to say. And that's how the children of Israel was. After all that God done from us. And look, and I want you to think about your life with God. You know, we're talking about the children of Israel, but what about us? I noticed something in these scriptures here. We're either going to grow cold or endure. You know, it's the two again. Life or death, blessing or cursing. You know, it's no in between. It's always the two. It's not in between. You're either for me or you're against me. You either love me or you hate me. It's pretty simple. You think about it, it's pretty simple. And, you know, I'm a guy. If I would have never dropped out of school, I'd have failed in the seventh grade. And it's nothing to be proud of. And to the teenagers, I'm not endorsing you to drop out of school. That's not why I mentioned it. But the path that I took, not everybody made it. There's some folks who didn't make it. The path I took. And I don't want you to go down the same path. And let me tell you something else. You don't chase your mama's dreams. You don't chase your daddy's dreams. You chase your dreams. The dreams that God give to you. The purpose that you have. If it's baseball, you play it. If it's something else, you do it. You forget about baseball. You forget about football. You chase your dreams and your purpose for your life. says the love of many will grow cold. So who should we love? And who will it grow cold against? Let's look at it. Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. So number one, we should love God with everything that's in us. Luke 6:27-29. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. So our enemies, as hard as that can be, we have to love our enemies. Matthew 22:39. We'll start at 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So love your neighbor as yourself. All right, so we covered God, our enemies, and our neighbor. We have one more. One more. John 13:35. We'll start at 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So that's the trademark. The trademark is love. And he says that folks will know us by us loving each other. That's what he said. And that's why the enemy fights so hard against it. He fights against love. What's he about? He's the opposite of love, hate. So he's going to do all he can to create discord among who? The brethren. Not the folks out there. They're already in discord. It's us in here. All right, so what do we do to make sure that we're operating in a trademark and we're staying teachable? What should we do? What do we have to do? Or what do we think we need to do? No matter what we think, right? So we're going to look at the scripture, because I ain't going to give you my thoughts, because it don't matter what I think. We're going to look at the scripture and see what it says. And again, this is in our folder. John 15:9-10. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So we have to abide in Christ's love. If we abide in his love, then we'll love. Because without Christ, without abiding Christ in his love, we don't know how to love. We think we know how to love. We think we know what love is. But I didn't know love until I met Christ. I thought I knew love. We abide in Christ's love by meditating day and night in the Word of God. Because he says we'll be like a tree. Well, who's that tree? Remember who the tree is? The tree is Yeshua. So we'll be like Yeshua, planted by streams of water. And we'll produce fruit in its season or time of an event. We'll produce the fruit of love whenever it's time to. Let's look at Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Actually, I'm going to start at the top. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and this is the one. It endures all things. What do we have to do? We have to endure. Those who endure to the end is going to receive the prize. So we have to endure. He says here, if we love, we'll endure. Love will keep us. When nothing else will, love will keep us. All right, I have a few questions here that I'm going to ask. But they're important questions. Because we need to make sure our love don't grow cold. Because he said in the last days it will. He says many's love will grow cold. He's talking about the church, the born-again believers. So we have to be careful. How do we respond when people rub us the wrong way? Think about it. How do we respond when people rub us the wrong way? How do we respond when someone sends us a hurtful text or message on Facebook? How do we respond to it? Here's one. How do we respond towards friends and family when they don't take our advice? They just won't listen. You ever said that? They just don't listen. I've said it. But how do we respond? How should we respond? With the trademark. Love. How many of y'all seen that movie Inside Out? This cartoon for the kids. It's about emotions. I watched it with my kids. It's a pretty neat movie. While I was putting this message together, I was reminded of this movie because it talks about emotions. Right? And love's an emotion, right? Hate's an emotion. Well, this is the emotions that's in this movie. All right, and I noticed something as soon as I put it together. It's four negatives and a positive. And I'm like, now why did they do that? You know, this is our kids that's watching this, you know. But they only put one negative and four positive. I mean, one positive. The first one's joy. The next one's sadness, fear, anger, disgust. All right, my question is, where is love? And where is hate? This is the conclusion I come up with. This is the emotions that the world wants us to know about. Right here. Because they're feeding it to our kids, right? Well, in my study, just looking at the movie and the different things, I noticed something else. I notice that they come out with emotions whenever they want. Science does. They'll just create them. All right, does anybody know about the new emotion they just came out with? This is the name of it. It's FOMO. Anybody familiar with FOMO? Yeah, fear of missing out. I'm like, that ain't what you call. You call that nosy. You don't call that FOMO. Come on, Al. So they just make stuff up as they go, right? And but anyway, I was like, man, this is something. All right, we're going to look at two of them, all right, the two that they didn't put in here. We're going to look at love and hate. All right, love is a product of God, right? He produces love. Well, who produces hate? Hasadon, the devil. He produces hate. I don't see these two as emotions. All right? Let me explain before you shout me down. Emotion is something you show when you feel it. Right? When you feel an emotion, you show it. All right? I submit to you that love and hate's a command. It's commanded by God to love. And it's commanded by Hasadon to hate. All right, we're going to look at a story of Jesus and his disciples. All right, Jesus gives us an incredible example of operating with the trademark, which is love. It's incredible. Let's take a look at it. John 13, 1 through 5. All right, here we go. Hold on. Need some water. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now let me ask you a question before I go any further. We can come up with all kind of excuses for why we don't like somebody or we upset with somebody. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about Jesus. Jesus had every excuse in the book to be upset with his disciples. Especially at this point. To be upset and mad at them. But you know something? He didn't. He didn't. But he could have did it. And rightfully so. He could have did it. Because they were hard-headed like we are. Right? I know I'm hard-headed. I'm working on it. But I don't know how many times Jesus told his disciples, "Ye of little faith." Now, this is folks hanging out with Jesus, right? They seeing all of this stuff, but yet he called them, "Ye of little faith." But he didn't retaliate. This is what he did. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had girded. Wow. Wow. If it was me, I'd have never been washing their feet, I can tell you that. But he showed the trademark. Love. He loved his disciples even though they just wouldn't get it. He loved them. Even though they doubted him, they questioned him, he loved them. During his most difficult night, he washed the feet of his disciples. His most difficult night, he washed the feet of his disciples. That's incredible. He loved them until the end. He endured to the end. Love is giving of yourself when the recipient is not worthy. You ever done it? That's not easy. Jesus just showed us how to do it. Do we show love when it's the hardest time to do it? And this is important. Listen to this. When we react in a way contrary to what Yeshua teaches, in essence, we are saying to others, "This is how Yahweh wanted me to respond." You ever thought about that? Because we're believers. We're born again Christians, and folks know that. And whenever we respond, we're telling them, in essence, this is how Yahweh wanted me to respond to this. So we have to be careful how we respond. We got to respond out of love. You know, I was thinking about this, how time is like money to us. You know, whatever is most important to us, we deem most important, that's where most of our money goes, right? I mean, it goes in housing, food, transportation, You know, and it's the same thing with our time. See, and this is something we should always do. We should question where our time is going, where most of our time is going, because that'll be the tell story of what's most important to us in our life. And, you know, whenever I come to church, you know, this time's important to me. And it's an investment. All right? And this is just me thinking. All right? This is how I feel about it. You know, if I just come to church and just see and just hear the message and go home, to me, it's not a good investment. So what I do to make sure that it's a good investment, whoever's speaking, I got a notebook and I write all of the scriptures down. If nothing else, I write the scriptures. And I go home. All them scriptures you shared, brother, I went home and I read all of them. Not the same day or the next day, but I read all of them. Let me tell you, it did something for me. Because we need to have faith. And we need to know about faith. Because faith without works is dead. It does us no good. But to me, it's up to us what we get out of church. That's what I see. The years I've been serving God, I've done come to church and didn't get anything. You know why? Because I didn't want anything. I came not wanting anything. But before I leave my house, if I make it a point to come to church and learn something, I do it every time. And if we do that, it's going to help us stay teachable. Because look, if we're not teachable, we're in trouble. Because we don't know. But He knows. And He gives us ways to be taught. He gives us the scripture. He gives us His Holy Spirit. And He gives us teachers, evangelists, preachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So we have all kind of opportunities to learn. So if we're not learning, if we're not teachable, it's our own fault. We can't blame anybody. It's because we allowed ourselves to get there. Because we're not meditating on the Word of God like we should. Because that's what He said. If we meditate on His Word, we'll be like Yeshua. Planted by streams of water. In other words, He's getting all the Word He needs to make it. And we'll be right on side of Him. Because He's the firstborn of many brethren. So we're going to be on side of Him. Or will we? Well, I don't know about y'all, but I want to do everything I can to make it. And I want all my family to make it. But if I don't stay in a spot with God where I need to be, if I don't stay teachable and continue to grow and learn, they're not coming. Why would they want to come? But it's up to us. Remember, this is our time. It's up to us. What we're going to do with the time that God gives us? What are we going to do with it? Tell you what we need to do with it. It may be already all. But we need the heart of a champion. Because He don't give up. Even when He's the underdog, Jesus didn't give up. He was the underdog, by the way. But He didn't give up. But we need to have a heart of a champion and continue to pursue God and the things that He wants us to do. And not only that, but we need to step in to all the giftings and callings that God's placed on our life. Because there's talented people in here. No doubt about it. There ain't a position in a church shouldn't be filled with multiple people. Not just one, multiple. So we got work to do. It's a progress. It's a process. We have work to do. And there's always going to be work to do. And look, everybody in here knows me. I'm related to most of y'all. And y'all know my heart. And I want everybody helping. It's just the way I am. I want everybody helping. Everybody doing their part. And I don't like to say anything to upset anybody. And that's what I'm not trying to do that tonight. But you know, each one of us know the calling that we have on our life. Each one of us. Each one of us. And if there's something that I can do to help you with that, you let me know. Because I want to help. Y'all know me. I want to help. It's just the way I am. So if there's anything that I can help with, you let me know. And I'm going to do everything I can to help you. Because we need to. We need to be growing. You know, and the only way we're going to grow is if we engage in the things that God called us to do. The gifts that he's called us to. That's the only way we're going to grow. If not, we'll just stay right where we're at. And we don't want that. That's not what we want. We want to grow. Because we know that's what God expects from us. And we owe it to each other. We really do. We owe it to each other. We've been in this thing a long time. Some of y'all older than, you know, longer than I am alive. So we've been in it a long time. So we know what it takes. Well, I'm done.
All right. Well, how many are you going?